back and hop that. No way. Critics trying to hate, but I don't talk back. I know that. Plotting on the kid with the bull, tell him all that. I'm the one that I'm a gamble on. I ramble on. I'm about to get my ramble on. And I'm the one they really couldn't get a handle on. They went and see that Mr. Boy, they get a
yo, 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 what is going on, everybody, and welcome to the one, the only Designated Spitters. It is I, Pizza Minetti, joined by the grandmother-loving himself, Francis Lee.
Oh, yeah, and let me tell you, I am extra excited about them grandmothers this week. Do you know why that is, my brother?
I know why. You're going to the capital of
grandmothers. Because I am going to the capital of the grandmothers in this country. That's right. Tampa area. You better batten down the hatches.
I want to say this real quick. So I got a little insight that you guys don't have. Francis even got a grandmother vehicle.
Yes, sir. Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is like the ultimate grandmother pick you up vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to give anything away. I can't. Let's not give nothing away because I want people to watch the vlog and be like, bro, what is that?
Yes, you have to watch. Guys, these vlogs are going to be must-see TV. Trust me.
Oh, you know how annoying? Do you guys even understand how annoying I'm going to be over there? I'm like, all right, now I've got to reshoot this. Francis, back up the car and then pull it back in. He's a bit, bro, we on a fucking highway. What are we doing? Back it up. Back up. Swing up. Swing around again.
Just turn around, do a U-turn.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to thank everybody for being here today. Thank you, guys. I am feeling a little bit better. Definitely. I was going to do the show either way. Just a little congested. You know, it's the time of year. People get a little sick and this and that. Who gives a shit? But I'm feeling okay. I think I'll be definitely good come Wednesday. We fly out Wednesday night, as you guys know. Just to give a quick little recap of what the week is going to look like, tomorrow, all rise in the morning, and make sure you join because the owner of 4Q is going to be with me in the morning talking about our new, the official coffee of NYYU. Very, very excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be joining me on All Rise tomorrow morning to give you guys a little more insight on the company. Great, great guy. You guys are going to love it. And then Wednesday, I'm calling the game, and then we out. Then it's time to travel. We're going to be in Tampa, as you guys already know. A lot of stuff coming your guys' way, whether it's shorts on YouTube. We're doing a daily vlog. We're going to try to get out there every day for the previous day. And, of course, we're going to be talking to many people out there, Francis. I'm excited, man. I'm excited to get with the fans again.
Right? Just to be in person, face-to-face, talk some shit. I like being around our community. I like being around our fans. I mean, I don't see us ever changing in that regard. And this is probably the most exciting part of all of this for me is just knowing that a lot of you guys are going to be out there. And I'm just looking forward to it, bro. It's spring training, Francis, my first time there.
And me too. So we're going to be sharing this experience together. But I tell you what, man, the cool thing that you guys are still obviously going to know and learn and see is that me and Francis go back. We had the original conversation together about NYYU. That is the only he can say that. There's nobody else that can say you were the first person that you talked to about that. And for me and Francis, it is a little different because we get to see how the company's grown. Like, damn, I remember that one conversation. And to think that it's only been like, what, 2 years in reality?
Two years.
And we're growing the way we are, man. We're so excited.
Man. Crazy.
And how can you not be excited about this Yankee year coming up? I mean, there are so many storylines already, so many good things happening. Juan Soto's just, I mean, I know it's spring training. We don't have to overreact and all that, but you couldn't find a better person for this Yankee lineup to turn things around than Soto.
And he couldn't have had a better start. It's like you said, we try not to read too much into the spring stuff, but with all the pressure, there's pressure. Even for Juan Soto, there was pressure. And he's just been delivering, man. And it feels good to see it. Feels great, actually.
Yep. No doubt about it. I did see somebody in the chat say, Pete, did you buy Gera Aventura tickets yet? Actually, yes, we are going. So
we did.
Me and the beautiful, lovely, wonderful fiance. And, you know, we're working so damn hard, guys. We don't even, it kind of sounds like odd to say, like, yeah, but, you know, we're just so focused on the company that we don't do like dates as much as we used to. And it kind of sucks, but we're both committed. And we understand why, but we are going to have a day together. And it is one day because I'm like, game season live's on the next day. Like, we got to be back. We can't do 2 days. So it's a one-day thing, and then we're right back in action. And I want to stick with Soto, but we do got a super chat. You're the best around. Nothing's going to ever Scott says, I think Stanton is done, folks. His timing's way off. we'll talk about that too, because I did watch him today. But I do want to stick with Soto. And I know there's been a lot of fans already in here talking about this whole Mets situation and this and that, and the New York Mets are basically just banking on Soto eventually being a Met. And I just want to say this, because I don't want to stick on this long, because we've all talked about this already.
Exactly.
We've all kind of been there and done that. I don't want to give this any credit. But I just got one message to Mets fans. You guys really cannot be that pathetic. And I have a lot of friends who are Mets fans that don't fall with this. And they're like, look, I'm worried about the Mets season. I'm not worried about this.
Exactly.
But for anybody out there that's a Mets fan, that your idea of this season is we're going to get Soto next year is maybe one of the most pathetic fan base moments I've ever seen. We've had big free agents coming up, and I don't remember Yankee fans simply going, it's spring training, but don't worry, we're getting this guy next year.
Exactly. Or imagine, Pete, imagine if we were sitting here thinking, well, you know, the Yankees don't necessarily have to pick up Rizzo's option for next season, and first baseman Pete Alonso will be a free agent next year. What if the shoe was on the other foot? Like, could you see? Because if I saw Yankees fans doing that shit, I would be shutting it down. Like, are you kidding me?
Yep.
Like, come on, let that shit go. We're not doing that. Like,
nah, bro. I'm right there with you, man. It's silly. It's pathetic. It doesn't make no sense. But it is what it is, and that is, of course, baseball in New York, right? And we'll see what happens. But as of right now, Soto homered again today. I think he also got a single in the game, and
he did.
He's hitting like over 600. I mean, three homers
already. Seven something. It's nuts.
And even today, the home run he hit was just an absolute bomb. I mean, off the bat, it was forget about it. And you start to look at the Yankees lineup. And yes, folks, it looks like DJ LeMahieu is probably going to be the leadoff hitter. I think that's pretty fair to say. I don't think they're going to, you know, switch it back and forth or whatever. I think LeMahieu is going to get every single chance to be that guy. And, you know, we'll see what happens, but with LeMahieu, at least, I watched him a little bit today, a couple of ground outs, got into some decent counts, but then you go to Judge and Soto, and Rizzo looks amazing, by the way.
Yeah, he does.
You look at those three, and it's like, look, this offense is going to be much better this year.
For sure, for sure. Even with, Giancarlo having the really off day today, you look at, DJ up top, Soto, Judge, Rizzo. I mean, that one through four, if Rizzo's right, golly, it's going to be, I mean, put it like this. It got me using words like golly. That's how you know I'm over the fucking moon. I mean, what I'm seeing so far from that one through four, and Judge, Judge hasn't even really looked like all the, really like super Judge yet, but it's like, I'm looking at his swing. I could tell like what he's working on and stuff. The most important thing to me is that Judge looks healthy. Like he looks like he's healthy, even though he went, 4 days last week where we didn't see him?
Yeah.
And we started to worry a little bit. He was right back. He's healthy. I guess, they're going to pick their spots with him. But I agree with you. Barring any unforeseen, weirdness, I can't see anybody else in the number one spot on opening day besides DJ LeMahieu right now. Yep. Whether that's the right move or the wrong move, I think, time will tell. But yeah, we'd be crazy if we thought it was going to be anybody else at this point. With Boone's comments and how we've seen the lineups go out in spring training, it looks like it's going to be DJ.
And, we kind of had that idea that that's what the Yankees are going to do either way, is that they're going to give him the opportunity to basically to see if he does fail. And if he fails, I think they got options. They were talking about today, too, of how good Anthony Volpe has looked and that eventually he can slide into that leadoff role if he makes the right changes. He looks like he has made some legitimate changes, by the way. I mean, Volpe's hitting the ball on the ground more, but also hitting some nice line drives up the middle, so you might see less power. But Yankees don't need Anthony Volpe hitting in the low 200s with decent power. They need somebody that could get on base, use his speed on the base paths, and really cause havoc and be a table setter. That is the best Anthony Volpe they can get, and maybe this year we might just be getting that.
I hope to God we are, because I think we said it a couple episodes back, If Volpe is having a good year, that tells me everything I need to know about the team. I feel like offensively, if Volpe is having a good year, then I know for a fact certain other guys are having phenomenal years.
Yep.
And I mean, the biggest change is the swing. It looks a hell of a lot more level than it did last
year. Very leveled.
And even when he doesn't get the results that we want, I, for one, am still encouraged that the swing wasn't an uppercut swing, that it was a level swing and he grounded out or whatever. I mean, you're going to see people on Twitter, because I've been seeing them or whatever.
I think you're going where I was going to go.
Immediately posting the angle, the launch angle.
Yeah. And right? they're go mad ahead. About it. There's some people mad about it and this and mm-hmm. that. I've read many comments already of people basically saying, you know, he's not going to hit for homers this year, and the Yankees are ruining him, and fans that wanted what they want are going to get what they want, and it's not going to be good, and this and that. I'm like, so what? Why do you think last year was so good? What was so good about last year for Anthony Volpe? The Yankees won 82 games, may I remind you. He hit 209. He had an under 300 on base percentage. I'm going to sit here right here and say it, as I said it a lot last year. I still hear the Yes Network trying to act like he had a good year. He didn't. Propaganda. Anthony Volpe did not have a good year offensively. I don't give a poop if he was a rookie. I don't care. There was signs of good stuff, of course, but we could do that flashes. With anybody.
Yeah, flashes.
We could do that with anyone. Fact of the matter is, Anthony Volpe cannot be a 210, 215 hitter and hit 25 homers and everybody's going to go, we're fine with that. There's too much potential there for Volpe to be a much better player. Mind you, if Volpe hits over 250, he's going to be way more valuable to the New York Yankees. I don't understand this thing about he got to hit for power.
The issue that I always see is that the arguments a lot of times are super flawed. I mean, especially when we're talking about nerds, they contradict themselves. I mean,
of course.
Look at Anthony Volpe's season last year. I mean, look at where his WAR was last year. Yeah. Now, imagine this year he does hit less home runs. Instead of, you know, 25 or something, maybe he's around 16 or 17. Mm-hmm. But the average jumps up to 245, 250. He's going to be a higher WAR player.
No question.
So by the metrics that you nerds love so much, wins above replacement, he will technically be a better player hitting less home runs and hitting for a higher average. But they're saying that, oh, you're going to get what you want and you're not going to like it. I don't see how the fuck I'm not going to like it. I'm going to love it. You're right. Well, I won't like it. I'll love it.
Yeah, and as a team, this is something that the majority of our team, if not everybody, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I'm pretty sure it's just about everybody. We all agree on this, is that the reason we have an issue with some of these takes is that they want a one-size-fits-all approach.
Exactly.
And baseball is not meant to be that. That is not the way it works. Mm-mm. Baseball is not a one-size-fits-all game. You can't sit there and go, I gotta teach Mark McGwire the same way I'm going to teach Kenny Lofton.
Nope.
It's two completely different ball players on how they play their game. Kenny Lofton, you'd go, I want you on base. Mark McGwire, you'd say, hit the ball at the stadium.
Yeah, swing for defenses.
You do. It's your specialty.
Exactly.
Aaron Judge, it's your specialty. You, be the guy you are. You know, be the same Aaron Judge you are today. But I'm not going to make Volpe try to be you. And that's what it feels like he was trying to be last year. I want to be a power threat when I step to the plate. Instead of saying, I'm going to utilize all my tools and be that guy. And hopefully this year we get that. We got a super chat. Then I want to talk about Big G, because I watched him today and it wasn't pretty.
It wasn't too cute.
My guy Moises Acevedo says, let Soto enjoy the Yankees and his teammates. Who cares about next year? Soto will sign with whoever he wants. Well, whoever he wants and who's giving some decent chunk of change. No question about that. But I got to talk about this, man, when it comes to Stanton. So the other day I watched him. I might have been on Friday, I want to say, maybe. But he hit a ground ball. It might have been a base hit or a ground ball somewhere, but he got out the box very good. I'm like, man, look at Stanton booking.
I'm on Friday.
He's booking it out the box. He looks good running.
No, sorry. It was Thursday, the single.
Was it Thursday, the single?
And he slapped the single opposite way, 96-mile-an-hour fastball up in the zone.
So I'm like, yes, that's exactly what it was. Because everybody was saying that was a pitch you couldn't get to last year and all that.
Yep.
And I saw him book it out the box. I'm like, bro, Stanton is moving well. Like, he really is moving nice.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw today. And bro, today he looked really, really bad. He looked like Stanton of last year today, and that's concerning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was missing pitches and then basically falling, no balance whatsoever in his swing, which, to give credit to Sean Casey, if you remember when the season ended, Sean Casey talked about Stanton needs balance in his stance again. Yeah. He got to become more balanced, whether that's opening up and squatting a little more again and having a little more balance on both feet. Mm-hmm. But he looked tough today, bro. And
yeah,
look, I don't know. I think I don't know how to say this because I don't want this to come across as that it doesn't make sense. I'm just going to say it anyway. I think Stanton can only help the Yankees. I don't know how much he could really hurt the Yankees anymore. And I know that sounds crazy because I feel like if you replace him, you ain't filling it in with much. Yeah. I mean, what much has he done that it's like, if it's Dominguez replacing him, maybe.
Yeah.
Then it's like, all right, we're going to get better. But I don't know. I think Stanton can only help them. I don't know how much he could really hurt them this year. But then again, Boone and Parr just leave him in the friggin' lineup to bat 110.
That would be the only area where I could say, okay, I could see that he hurts us here if there's no recognition of the fact that he has not improved, he will not improve, but they keep running him out there because he's making 20 plus million a year. I don't care how much he's costing. In a win now window, in an all-in season, if the man is ass and Dominguez is healthy, he needs to be riding the bench.
No question.
As
no
crazy question as it might seem, somebody's like, oh, they're going to put $25 million on the bench. Yes, the fuck they are. If they want to win, that's what they will do. I mean, at the end of the day, Josh Donaldson was also making $25 million, and he had to see bench, didn't he?
Yep, that's right.
I respect John Carlos Stanton for being as accountable as he's been, for putting in the work this offseason to lose a ton of weight. He looks to be in amazing shape. He did make changes to his swing. I see that. But then you see a day like today, and it's like, it's scary because you're like, yeah, but all those changes, and yet you still kind of look the way you did today. Now, am I ready to jump out the window based off of just today? No. It's one day where he looked like Stantonstein. Mm-hmm. I mean, the season doesn't start tomorrow. There's still we still got the rest of this month. We still got a couple more weeks. For all I know, he could turn it on these last couple of weeks, and then I'm, you know, walking all this back and saying, I can't wait to see him on opening day. But, you know, as it currently stands, I think I agree with you. I think there's not really much, you know, him being what he was last year. There's not really much to us believing, oh, yeah, that's going to really derail our season because we're counting on Stanton to be one of those guys. Let's call a spade a spade. I don't think we're counting on Stanton to be one of those guys.
Yes, like, that's what I'm trying to get at right there is that if he doesn't improve, it's kind of like, all right, we've improved as a team, though.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't want Stanton to perform. I want him to perform because we're a much better team. But I'm just like, you know, if he was the same guy next year, you're like, all right, guys, we kind of knew this. Like, we kind of prepared him. That's why we got more depth this year, which does help, is that it has been kind of prepared for this already.
It would hurt more if, say, for instance, Gleyber Torres has a clunker.
Yes, like, exactly.
Gleyber Torres is a guy, and you guys in the chat know this, and everybody on our team, I think, would agree. Gleyber Torres is a guy that the Yankees are wholeheartedly going into 2024 saying, this is a guy that we can depend on. He's going to hit, you know, a decent amount of home runs. He's going to bat for a respectable average. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be a name that we can pencil in pretty much every night that we have a game. Like, if Gleyber, for some reason or another, is not, that would hurt us. Because they're banking on him to do that. Judge, they're banking on him to be there. Rizzo, as crazy as it may sound, because he's coming off a concussion and you really never know, Rizzo is a guy that they're banking on to be Anthony Rizzo. Juan Soto, to be Juan Soto. Even DJ, older and stuff like that, still banking on DJ a lot more. Verdugo. These are guys that I think they expect to get a certain amount out of. But let's call a spade. You heard Brian Cashman's comments at the beginning of the offseason. I think those comments tell us everything we need to know about where they're at with G, as unfortunate as that may be.
Yeah. And it sucks because, you know, one of the things that we've all had said about Stanton is that here's a guy who's come here and has kind of understand what the culture is. You're accountable. You just say, hey, look, I remember him last year multiple times go, look, I suck right now. I'm bad. I get it. I'm not good right now. You know, I got to get better. I got to be better and this and that. He's done that. But at some point, that kind of goes out the window, and you're just like, all right, bro, I get it. Your account, that's cool.
It's half
good
the job.
To be accountable. Yeah, we want it to, but it's half the job.
It's half the job.
Exactly. And he's like, we got to go get it done on the field and all that. Great. But to put, you know, put back into focus what Francis said, it is spring training. And there is still time for him to start looking better, start putting it together. And maybe we all sit there and go, damn, man, Stanton might have a solid year this year. Got a super chat from Rod Thompson.
Thank you for being a friend.
Familia.
He says, watching Soto from afar is one thing, but seeing this kid up close and personal, another story. I can't believe he's on our team. He is just different. Yeah. That's why they say generational talent, because that's truly what he is. He is generational talent. That is Soto, man. He's a generational player. People kind of throw that word around and laugh about it, but this kid is going to play the entire year at 25 years old, and you can make a strong argument he's top five hitters in the game, no question. Probably has the best eye in baseball, and I mean, I posed a question a long time ago, and I said, are we going to basically get our version of Manny and Poppy, Poppy and Manny? And I'm like, this is the closest that we could get to that. They just got to put it together. But man, oh man, these guys back to back is going to be exciting to watch all year.
Hot take. You can clip it. You can save it. You can bookmark it, whatever, if it all goes to shit.
Oh, shit. But I'm scared.
In all honesty, if Juan Soto and Aaron Judge do what they're supposed to, they could make people forget about Poppy and Manny. That's how good the two of them are. And it's not. This is not just Yankee bias talking. I respect the shit out of Big Poppy. I respect the shit out of Manny Ramirez. I'm a Dominican fucking man. So obviously those players mean something to us on a level that transcends baseball. But we're talking about Aaron Judge. You know, everybody knows what Aaron Judge is capable of doing when fully healthy and in the lineup. You saw it in the MVP season.
Damn right.
Juan Soto is the same thing. If they are there, healthy, playing every single day and playing to their potential, doing what they are supposed to do day in and day out, it's better than Poppy and Manny. The difference here is that some people say, of course, yeah, but they got to do it. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. Correct. They have to do it. Poppy and Manny won. They won. And not just regular season. They got hardware. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
the beautiful thing about it, Francis, really, when you think about this, as we're 27 likes away from 100. Ladies and gentlemen, we got almost 300 people in here. Smacky that likey. Hitty that sub. And we're also 13 subs away from 23,100. So keep that going, guys. But here's the thing, right, that you just said, and it's so friggin' true. These guys got a chance to build a legacy together. Because let's be honest here. Soto and Judge do this together. Let's say Soto signs, you know, that 12, 13, 14-year deal that a lot of people expect him to sign. Aaron Judge is here for another 8, whatever it is. Let's say these guys win two to three chips. Imagine they could do 3. You never know. That's unbelievable scenario. But you never know what happens. Baseball's very tough now.
Yeah, it is.
A lot more competitive. I understand all that. Let's say they win 2 together, right? It would be nice to go 3 because that would be 28, 29, and 30. That would be something.
I mean, they get us to 30, bro. Come on.
Fuck it. Let's say 30. Forget it. They do the 30. They get 3, all right? Let's say they do that. That's the best duo in baseball history. And they're healthy and they perform.
Guaranteed or your money back. That's basically what I'm saying. I'm not saying that as of right now, because I know somebody probably heard that and said, oh, this guy's wild and they haven't even played a game yet. No. I'm not saying that as of right now. As of right now, they've done nothing.
That's right.
They have a bunch of cute spring training pictures and the vibes look immaculate on paper.
Yep.
I'm speaking about when it's all said and done, when the dust settles in, you know, November of this year, right? What are we looking at? Because that's what Pete just said is that's everything. Everything hinges on what Pete just says. All that other shit does not matter. Rings, Pete said 2 or 3. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about how many ALCSs they get to, how 30? Many games they win in the regular season, how long of a win streak they could put together, how many MVPs this one wins or gold gloves or whatever. Fuck all of that. Yep. No offense to those numbers and those records. But when we're talking about best duos in baseball, especially, you know, comparing to guys like Poppy and Manny, you have to win. If you're going to be in that conversation, you got to win.
Oh, man, it's absolutely amazing. Dane says our version of A-Rod and Griffey could also be that. I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. They got that potential.
Dane, that's the exact one. I said it like two episodes ago.
Yep.
I was like, because they were saying, because a lot of people were saying Jeter and A-Rod initially. And I was like, I think it's a lot closer to A-Rod and Griffey when in Seattle. Just no shots at Jeter. Love Jeter.
No, Jeter was a table setter. He's our guy. He's more of a table setter. That's not a knock on Jeter.
Exactly. That Jeter was a different role. But yeah. Judge and Soto is what we're talking about. Oh, man.
Yeah, these are guys that, and again, this is, I don't want this to come across as bad, but these are legitimate game changers at one swing at a bat could be literally constantly. It's not a knock on Derek. Jeter was a table setter for guys to drive him in. That's what Derek's job was. And he was one of the best ever, one of the best of all time at doing that, being a table setter. So that's nothing taken away from Jeep, but these guys are much more impactful with the bat. And yeah, they got to win. Paul, I see you. They never won. No, of course. Well, they never played together. This is it. So what we're saying is Soto gets locked in long term. These two have to go out there and win because, look, things feel kind of bad right now for the Yankees. If these dudes get locked in and they don't win together, it's even worse. I mean, it's disgraceful. It'll be disgraceful. It'll be a stain on the Yankees' legacy for years.
At that point,
if these guys can't win.
At that point, where would we even point?
You can't even get it out. It's so bad. It's so bad.
I couldn't even get it out. I couldn't even get it. But it's like at that point, where do we even go as fans, bro? Like, what do we point the finger? What do we blame?
Because it's hard. I don't know.
They kept the best player in baseball at the time when Aaron Judge was a free agent, then followed it up 2 years later by signing the best left-hander to be his running mate at 25 years old.
Yeah.
They had Gerrit Cole. They had and they never won. Like, if we fast forward all these years and they never win, it's just like, whoa.
Yeah. So,
like, because you can't say Hal didn't spend. You can't say Brian Cashman didn't buy. You can't say the players weren't there. So you just have to look at it and say it just didn't happen.
It didn't pan out. Yeah. I mean, hopefully we won't ever have to have that conversation.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
We're talking about the Yankees winning chips.
Hopefully you're singing Taylor Swift at the end of the season.
Yes, I'd be more than happy to. I'll be more than happy to sing Taylor Swift. I don't know what song I'm going to sing, but I'll be more than happy to do it. But moving on to the Yankees pitching, we saw back-to-back outings. One from Marcus Stroman, who looked very, very
phenomenal.
Good. He looked absolutely excellent. And Nestor Cortes, to his credit, he looked good today, too.
Yes, he did.
So he goes 4 innings. Marcus Stroman went 4 innings.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're starting to see, you know, the rotation come together a little bit. I think Carlos Rodon is next. I think he should be coming up for another outing.
If I'm correct, we should be seeing Rodon, then Schmidt, if I'm correct.
It should be, yeah. I think Rodon has to be coming up. So I'm excited about seeing Carlos get back out there.
Yeah, especially with the last two things we heard.
Yeah, with the day he was giving up. He gave the 4 homers to some Yankee prospects. And Dane said Rodon is tomorrow. So I actually got some insight on that. My understanding was with a few of the batters, he was working on a splitter.
So apparently
he was goofing, like not goofing off, but playing around with a different variety of pitches. Because right after that, he struck out like 4 of the next 5 batters. And I think 2 times was Spencer Jones and some other guys. So again, just as we're sitting here going, maybe we're overreacting to Stanton. Maybe we're overreacting to something we didn't even get a chance to see.
Don't really have evidence
of what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, is Gerrit Cole going to be, are we expecting Cole to be bad because he gave a bomb to Vogie? I mean, does that make us sit there and go, the home runs are back? Home runs are back this year. No, I mean, there's a thing of overreacting and all that, and reacting and overreacting, I would say, in spring training. But I'm not too concerned. I want to see him come out again tomorrow. So that's a must watch, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to see him dominate. I want to see that velo up there a little bit consistently throughout the game and see the dog that I know is in him.
I got to be honest with you. When I saw Hoke's tweet that he gave up the 4 home runs in the live BP, I was a little bit like, my first initial reaction was probably like any of the fans who saw it on Twitter was like, shit, like that's not.
Yeah.
And then the next second, like my pitcher brain kicked in and was like, how do you think he gave up 4 home runs? And I was like, he was probably throwing the same pitch over and over. Like, how does that happen is like I'm working on something and yes, it's live BP and everybody's like, yeah, but it's live BP. You're supposed to be mixing your pitches. Yes, but Carlos Rodon is Carlos Rodon. Like he's a professional. Yeah. He's been there, done that. He's been in the league a while. He's not Clark Schmidt. Like the
he's really not. He's Harkey. Also not probably looking to really impress anybody.
Exactly. It's not like Harkey and Blake are standing behind him saying we need to see that. We need to. He's not one of those.
Yeah.
He's up there, and you know Hark and Blake, they're probably there, but they're not talking to him. They're just letting him go about his work. So he's probably in his head working on something. And then you just confirmed it because I didn't even read that he was working on the split. Yeah. And the, whatever. But that was the next thing that came to my head was. Probably working on something because I've done it before. I'm sure anybody who's played baseball, who's pitched, you've done it before early on when you're getting stretched out and you're working, like trying to find, you know, your pitches again and you know, throwing BP. Like, yeah, you might, you know, you throw, for instance, it was always the changeup at the beginning, at the beginning of the year in February, we'd get together, we'd start throwing or whatever. And then we'd start pitching to guys. And the changeup was, my changeup was always the last thing for whatever reason. I threw a circle change and it was always the last thing that I could find. And it looked ugly. For like the first week, it looked ugly because I would literally just throw like 12 in succession.
Right.
Move the way that I wanted it to. But what did that mean? That means that there was at least two guys who went up there and just saw like four straight until they barreled one up and hit it so far that they couldn't find where the ball was.
Right.
So, I mean, these things happen. It's like it's spring. It's called training for a reason. The games are exhibition.
Like here, this is the time you work on stuff, right? Shit, there was years. Yeah. Remember when Mo used to throw a changeup? Yep. And everybody's like, oh my God, Mariano got a new pitch. He's going to use it this year. And you never saw it.
He never saw it all
he
year long.
He never saw that pitch. He would just tease it all the time. It's like, oh, this year I'm, you know, I'm going ahead and I'm throwing this damn changeup or whatever.
Oh, man. Like, that shit was so funny because I remember a playoff run and I forgot who was calling the game. And they said, and you know, you do have to be aware that he does have that changeup now. And I'm just I remember listening like, yo, he did not throw one all year, bro. He's not throwing a changeup here. Everybody knows what's coming and they still can't hit the shit.
They can't hit it. They can't hit it. That's exactly what it is. But
oh, man.
There is some news at a camp and I do want to take some time to talk about this guy. And that is Oswald Peraza. So Oswald Peraza still has some pinching in his throwing shoulder when he tries to throw across the infield. Aaron Boone said Yankees still believe the issue is minor. No test planned. He was also taking BP today.
That's
so
a good sign.
I guess that's a good sign. Where do we stand with Peraza? Well, you know, the Yankees have been looking for a while to add a utility infielder. Mm-hmm. I'll say it right now, unless I'll be completely surprised. I don't think Oswald Peraza makes a team. I think he starts the year in AAA.
Agreed.
He might start the year in the IL. I don't know. But I'll simply say this about Peraza. I'm somebody who goes years back now of hyping this guy up, hoping this guy is going to be very, very good, hoping this guy gets a shot with the Yankees. And yes, there are certainly times, man, oh man, do I remember last year when the guy was hitting a home run just about every day in AAA.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Donaldson was hitting 190, 170, 150 daily. And everybody and their mother's going, put him at third base. What are we doing? Why is he not at third base yet? And the Yankees never did it. So I'll just say this. This is the time where Oswald Peraza needs to look at himself in the mirror and go, I can't have slow starts. I gotta show off. I have to do something because whether it's the Yankees who put me somewhere or another team sees value, but I have to start doing something.
Exactly.
It can't be the same shit that we're seeing now. And yes, I get it. People go, yeah, but he's up, he's down, he's not getting playing. I understand it. It's the same thing I said with Flo last year. Mm-hmm. And he looked a little better. And now he might have a chance to play with the Guardians. But
yeah,
same thing with Peraza. He has to show something. This kid has not shown nothing in over a year in the major league level.
Yeah, no, you're 1,000% correct. And what I do want to say is you generously left out that not only was, you know, shitty skunk mullet hitting 198, you know, you had Volpe at times looking completely lost at the plate.
Correct.
And this was Peraza who could play either one of those two positions and they refused to call him up. But at this point, that's neither here nor there. And I'm glad that you're saying it because coming from you, I think the fans can take it with a little more than a grain of salt, because you're a guy who's been on Peraza's train forever.
I love the kid. You got all the talent in the world. I think to be
forever.
Excellent.
But if you're, if even you are saying you still got to show up when the opportunity is given to you, then it means that, yeah, dude, you got to seize your moment. At the end of the day, you're not getting all the opportunities. That's cool. But this is the worst time for you to say, to get down on yourself or maybe pout or anything. And I'm not saying he's doing any of that. But if that is something going on, he got to kick that shit, because whether it's with the Yankees or not, his future is still all ahead of him. And it doesn't have to be with us. Make the Yankees regret it. Who, like, dude, just do your thing, get traded somewhere. But I mean, yeah, I got to say that so far this spring, it's been a little bit of a disappointment. He got into good shape, looked like he put on some muscle, looked like he, you know, was really strong. He looked good when he first came into camp. And now, you know, he's dealing with this injury. And I mean, it's just weird. I mean, again, we know that the, it seems like the organization does is not high on the kid, right? And we've never we've never made it look like they were.
Yeah.
But this injury is obviously it's like a very easy way out for them. Yeah. It's like, it's almost like you're putting it on the table. Like, we didn't think he was going to make the roster anyway, because like I said, they're not high on the kid.
Yeah.
But with the injury and the whole no test plan thing, like if it was me, if I was him, I'd be like, yeah, let's get a test. Like, what do you mean no test? But like, let's figure out what the fuck it is, so that if it, if something needs to be done, we can do it sooner rather than later. Like, I wouldn't be comfortable with the whole no test plan thing. I hate when I see that.
Yeah, just do it. Like, yeah, what's there's the no issue? Test plan. What does it affect you? Like,
no, they, I mean, the Yankees operate like they have fucking Medicaid or some shit.
Exactly.
The Yankees operate like test on the kid. God forbid, they got to send a guy for a fucking X-ray because the bill's just, it's too much. I can't handle it.
It's too much. They can't handle it. I can't put this.
I can't send this invoice to Hal. I can't. He's gonna be upset with me. What the fuck? I mean,
Just send the damn guy, man. It doesn't add up.
How many years have we been saying the same shit? It seems like every single injury, it's always like, yeah, this guy's dealing with this. We're going to give it a couple days. And the question always comes, is there any testing planned? Are they going to go to, at this time, not at this time. Why not?
Right. Like, why not? Like, why? Always, why
do they have to go
time?
Back to New York? Dude, there's doctors in Florida. You know how many freaking doctors from New York retire to Florida? You can have a guy come look at him tomorrow. Like, what?
Right.
It's just, I'm not.
You probably got a doctor in the stands. You right doctor, now. Come down real quick. Come take a look at this guy for us. You don't mind?
It's I don't know, bro. Like, I saw that tweet and I saw the end no test plan at the end and the shit burned me, because I'm just like, why do we do this shit all the time?
It's
like,
the same
I don't get it. I don't get it. And if somebody knows why, I hope to God they can explain it to me, because I just don't get it. Why not just get the test and just see what's going on?
It doesn't add up. So I'll make this one prediction right now. I believe the utility man is not on the Yankees roster right now.
Oh, so you think the utility guy is, as of yet, he's not in camp. He's not in camp with us.
Not in camp yet.
Interesting. I want to see.
Because let me ask you honestly.
If you're going, okay.
Who's the front runner?
On the team right now?
Yeah. Groshans was just sent down to AAA. He's done. Who is it?
Groshans is the one that looked the best to me.
Yeah, and he got
technically cut from spring training already.
And we know the Yankees have been out there. They offered Kike Hernandez $4 million, who would have been perfect, by the way. Yeah,
Kike would have
been
good.
Been perfect. Bryce is saying Cabrera, but there's still another spot. There's another spot for an infielder.
Yeah, it's Cabrera plus. There's two guys. Last year, remember, we had an argument for him to make it. We had IKF, Cabrera. We had a couple. And this is a team that lives off that. Also, DJ LeMahieu is not in the same role that he was last year. As of now, DJ LeMahieu is your starting third baseman.
Yeah.
Last year, DJ LeMahieu was a utility player.
Yep.
I mean, this year, he is the third baseman. So there's
and
actually...
And you need somebody that can play third. You desperately need somebody that can play third base. And Vivas... They're not going to put Vivas as a utility guy because they believe he could take over potentially next year for Gleyber Torres. And he's a lefty bat. So the one thing you probably say to yourself is, I mean, there's a chance he could hit 15 plus homers at, you know, playing for the Yankees.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility. So at least we feel pretty good. And then I think they also want to see what he could do in a full year at second base. So.
Jorbert doesn't look bad at all. I got to say, I don't know. Yeah, if
but they're not
going to
make him a utility guy. And the other thing about him too, he doesn't have a great arm. He's not playing third base.
But that would be horrible.
It'd be stupid.
It'd be one of those smarter Yankees shit. Like, why are you doing that? He's
Right.
He's just let him. If I'm the Yankees, I just let him cook all year long.
No question. Like,
I don't even mess with him.
Unless God forbid something happens to Gleyber and he's hot and triple, and you just
Exactly. Knock on
and
wood.
And then you say, bro, just go ahead and do your thing.
Exactly. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But if it does, and that's the only case I can understand it. But yeah, I agree with you. I think Cabrera probably gets one of those spots. I think I could see Everson Pereira get, you know, something on the bench. But again, like that number one guy, that lead guy, doesn't look to be Peraza, and I don't see who it is on the roster as of yet.
And Cabrera, who knows, bro? Like, Cabrera hasn't done nothing again. It's like, you guys got to show something, fam. Yeah. Like, that 1 year only goes so far. It's like, we saw you all last year. You haven't done dick. Yeah. Haven't done dick in spring. So, you know, you got to eventually start to show something. And I don't think the guy is here, man. The guy is here.
You're 100% right.
Was this somebody you were thinking about, by the way?
I was going to ask you who you were thinking about. The only name that I have in my head, and I don't even know if it's still like a possibility, was Solano. But
Donovan Solano. But he's been here with the Yanks too.
Exactly. But I don't, and it's not like I'm saying like, oh, I'm head over heels, super excited. Yeah. He's just somebody that like I could see. Like I'm like, I can see that. It makes sense. But I wanted to know if you were thinking about somebody.
No, I feel like it's gonna be somebody that it could be how spring training works. That's what I'm saying. I think it's gonna be somebody that's released, somebody that's maybe sent down, and the Yankees go, let's you know, if he's not gonna make the team, let's trade for this guy. Remember, there's also a lot of players that are gonna be out of options.
A lot of guys have those late spring training, what they call it, like a late spring training opt out. Like I know Luke Voit has one with the Mets. Like it's a veteran thing. If you're a little bit older, they give it to you. So you're right. It could be guys playing for other teams right now that do that.
And I also wouldn't be shocked at if it's somebody that may never play in Yankees camp. And towards the end, it's like he's out of option to make the team. And the Yankees are like, oh, we'll play him.
we'll take him.
He's our utility infielder. Great. Perfect.
Yeah.
So that could work out well.
You're right. I didn't think about this.
There was one guy I wanted in the offseason I thought would have worked well, but he signed with the Rays. I loved Ahmed Rosario, but I just don't know how much playing time he would have got. Because he wants to be a starter, and I don't blame him. He had a down year last year.
Yeah.
But Ahmed Rosario is a guy I really like. I was also pulling for Gio, but they didn't know how much time these guys would get. So I understand him going elsewhere and getting a starting job.
It's funny. Wifey's literally wearing the Don Giovanni shirt today.
Oh, the legendary Don Giovanni. We could have brought that back if he came back too.
Yeah, man, she's wearing that shirt today. You know, I'm glad you brought up Ahmed Rosario. He's a guy that I'm really interested in seeing how it looks, because he's one of those guys that I feel like goes to Tampa and
could have a very good year.
Exactly. So, because look, Ahmed Rosario is a very good player. Let's not forget he was the headlining piece of the Lindor trade.
Yeah.
It was like he was the number, like the first player. And then I forget the other guy. The other guy was good too. Was it Jimenez?
Yeah, it may have been Jimenez.
I think it was Jimenez. But
who's what? Andres Jimenez.
But Ahmed Rosario was the guy. And shouts out to him. When he was Ahmed, he went to the same barber that I go to now.
Okay.
My boy Chelo. So
Chelo, okay.
Yeah. Ahmed Rosario was decent on the Mets. I liked him a lot. In Cleveland, he had, you know, some decent, you know, stints, but never really got comfortable there. And I don't want to blame Cleveland too much, but I mean, Pete, let's be honest. It's that can't be an easy place to play in.
No.
Like it's the I don't know, man. It's just it's a little bit weird. Like just the amount of talent that they find themselves with, especially on the pitching end. I mean, J-Ram's been there forever. You know, Josh Naylor's a pretty, you know, he's a decent player. I mean, he's a pain in my ass. I can't stand looking at him. He's like a fucking wart with legs, but he's a good player. And yet, like, it's a team that loses a lot more than they probably should. That's not an easy place to play in. I don't think it's an easy place to play in. But the Rays are a winning organization. And they play winning baseball. And I mean, dude, it's Tampa, it's Florida. I mean, the climate's a lot closer to the climate in DR, what he's used to. Like, I don't know. It wouldn't shock me if he's a breakout over there in a lineup with Rosarena. And I don't know. Could work.
So just for fun, I was taking a look at some players that could be available. And the first thing that came to me was the Arizona Diamondbacks. And the reason being, there's two veterans that are fighting for one bench job. And that's Elvis Andrus and Kevin Newman. So those are two names right there that I would say maybe keep an eye on if one of those guys don't make it. I know Andrus played a little bit of third base last year. Newman plays all over the infield. So he's another name like that that could make sense. Donnie Clark says Jeter Downs potentially as a utility guy, but I don't see that. I don't think Jeter Downs is going to do that.
I feel like the Yankees were linked to Andrus as recently
as two seasons ago. Yeah,
like,
I feel like two
seasons. He wasn't like
the
number one
for him.
Exactly. Yeah, I think he was one of the guys the Yankees had like kicked the tires on like a trade for.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a headline marquee thing, but like he was a name he's a name that's been on the Yankee board before.
Right. And so, I see people in the chat saying that Andrus signed with the D-backs. Yes, that's what I'm saying. But they're that's what I'm saying. I know he signed there. But the rumor is that him and Newman are fighting for one spot. Whoever gets it, the other one is going to, they're veterans. They're going to be released likely or moved on to another club. my guy Macho King says, Wilson Betemit. Remember Wilson?
Wilson Betemit.
I thought he was going to be really frigging good, man. I thought Wilson Betemit was going to be really good.
We all did.
And it just didn't work. I forgot what baseball game it was back then, but I had that dude hitting tanks left and right. I had him hitting balls that you can't imagine. And speaking of balls, this episode is brought to you by the Spring Cleaning Champions Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that winter bush with Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers, baby. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code NYYU for 20% off and free shipping. Make sure if you're sliding into bags, you're sliding into bags with some clean-ass balls, all right? You don't want to get all dirty. You don't want the dirt to get up in there. Then it's a whole mess. Forget about it.
I got to tell you, I'm you're doing it. The read, and I'm looking, I'm just like, we didn't plan this.
Yeah, I was just waiting. We've just been so natural with speaking of balls. I was like, all right, that's going to kick in at some point.
We didn't plan when this is you got to give Pete his flowers. All right. Because you never got to give people their flowers. This is wasn't planned. Just perfect execution. But on top of that, also, I got the shirt on. He's got the shirt on. We both got the DS at the top. We didn't plan this shit. And it's not the first time. It's not the first time it's happened.
It's just, you know.
All right. We're the only podcast goes live on YouTube. We look like a beautiful black and white cookie up here.
Yeah.
All right.
Facts. Facts. Bring the world together.
Francis, come on. We are.
We're changing the world.
The missing
we're changing
link.
The world as
we
speak.
Really
it's
are.
Unbelievable. No doubt about it.
We
Matt,
really are.
Oh, come on, Matt. Matt had to put Sancocho in there. Oh, I'd kill for some Sancocho right now. Kill. No joke. I kill for some Sancocho right now. I'm not even kidding. I might pour that shit on my face the way I feel. That's it.
That shit would do justice for you right now, bro. I'm sorry.
But Francis, we got to talk about this, man. I don't know how you... I want to get your take on this. I'm going to put it on the screen and just... I want to hear what you got to say. There it is. Vogie. Cole was angry?
Cole was angry.
Take? How do you feel about this?
I got to be honest with you. I'm not joking. I know I'm laughing. You guys hear me laughing. Cole said that it was a slow trot, but in all honesty, I think that's his top speed, guy. Like, it's not even when I heard Cole say that, like, yeah, he took his little slow jog around. I'm like, I don't know, Garrett. I think that's all he's got in the tank. Like, I don't think there's much of a, I don't think his 40-yard dash is like, you know, all that impressive.
Much spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean,
as far as the little bat flip or whatever, that was a little much. But here's what I will say. Like, I see Cole's side a little bit, but I'll pull back on a take I had a couple seasons ago with Gerrit Cole here. But before I say that, I see Vogelback's bat flip, and I say this is a guy who has been through the ringer the last year and a half plus. And maybe a lot of people don't know this, but Vogie's been having a tough go of it. He's been having a tough go. He's bounced around a couple, and he's just coming off a very rough season in New York with the Mets. And, you know, he was being played, you know, against what fans wanted, and, you know, people were calling for his head and his job. And, you know, they even put Showalter out there on the stake because Showalter kept penciling him in. And apparently it wasn't even a thing that he necessarily wanted to do, but it was, you know, something that that's what they wanted. Right. But Vogie had a tough go of it. So for him to come into spring and to get a bomb like that off of a brand name, I mean, that has to feel fucking amazing. And that's more what I saw. I don't think he was showing up Gerrit Cole or the Yankees. I just think it was finally, man. Like, yes. Like, I can still fucking do this. Like, I'm trying to show people this is still in me. Because he's a guy who has pop. This guy's a dangerous power hitter. He just has to put it together and be consistent. So I think that's what I saw. I saw kind of like, you know, just like a little bit of relief. Like, oh, there we go. Yeah, look, off of Gerrit Cole, nonetheless. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it was a bomb. It was a no-doubter.
Yeah, the only question
was whether it was going to stay fair or not. Because that shit, it wasn't even on the screen. Till this day.
I was creamed.
When the ball came off the bat, till this day, I have yet to see it.
Facts.
I still haven't seen the ball.
I remember just it happened. I'm like, damn, that ball's gone. I think I called that game. I think I called it.
You called that one.
He hit it. I was like, oh, shit, that's gone. like once he hit it, you're like, it's over.
That's not coming back.
That's not coming back.
So, yeah, bro, I get it. Like, I think I understand it. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, you know, or especially because he's on the Blue Jays now and screw them. But
it looks like he lost weight, too, by the way.
He did. He did.
He definitely looks like he lost weight.
I just feel like, you know, it's a guy who's been through a lot, and that felt like almost like when Aaron Hicks hit that three-run homer in the playoffs, and, you know, he dropped the bat like or whatever. It's like one of those like finally, like, you know what I mean? Like
exactly. All that weight is off my shoulder. Like, I can still do. It could be also confirmation to himself, right? Like, bro, exactly. I can still do this. I could do this. I can play at this level.
I'm glad you said it, because sometimes players have to prove it not to the fans, not to their managers, not to their agents, not to anybody around them. Sometimes it gets so bad that you need to prove it to yourself again.
Yeah.
You need to prove it to yourself again.
I mean, you know, my take on this is very simple. I don't give a shit.
He said, I don't give a poot.
Bro, I don't give a poot. I'll tell you this. I'm a little more upset with Gerrit Cole, to be honest. And because this would have been me. Once he started talking, I said, Gerrit, wait a second.
I don't like that kind of talk.
That's it. I would have said, Gerrit, look, man, you're the reigning Cy Young Award winner. You gave up a bomb.
A nuke.
A bomb. Who the guy, okay. What are you? Come on, really? Yeah. Vogie of all people. Oh my God. He showed me up. He had a freaking homer off you. That was a nuke job.
Yeah.
If it was just slightly over the wall, I don't think he would have did it. The ball was creamed. You're Gerrit Cole. You just want a Cy Young. Strike his big ass out next time you face him. That's exactly. All. Like, I could see if this was Vladdy and he does it. And he's like, you know what? This is my house bullshit.
Exactly.
Then it's like, all right, I can understand it being like, yo, bro, this is spring training. I'm working on shit. All right, cool. You're the homer. But you're the reigning Cy Young, fam. Remember the good old days.
Those were the days.
Bro. You're 100% right. And what I said before was that I got to walk back a take from a couple seasons ago. If you remember, there was the whole thing with Cole and Gardner.
Yes.
And I was vehemently on Cole's side. And normally,
yeah,
when it comes to things like this, like, I'm biased. I pitched. I mean, obviously, you play high school, you play travel ball. Even if you're a pitcher, a lot of times you do both. And I did, and I was a really fucking good hitter. But pitching was like my thing. So I like to side with the pitchers. And in that thing with him and Brett, I was like, yeah, but you know, if you know the guys like that, leave them alone. Don't mess with them. But then, like, you know, time has passed, and now the more, you know, a lot of these things have happened, even since Brett Gardner's not even with the team anymore. Yeah. And these things continue to happen, and it's becoming increasingly more obvious that Gerrit Cole is just a little bit of, you know, he's a little bit of,
he's a little whiny.
Like,
that's all right.
He's our guy.
Wrong with it.
He's our guy.
Yeah,
he's
nobody saying nothing wrong. I love
he's
Cole.
Our ace. He is the ace of New York. He is one of the best damn fucking pitchers in baseball, if not the best. When he is on his fucking game, but everybody has their flaws, and at this point, I think I gotta admit, I'm a man. I can admit when I was wrong. I was wrong a couple years ago, man. Gerrit Cole is a little bit whiny. He's a little bit He's a little bit high strung.
Right? We talk about guys bat flipping. I told this to Mario. I think I said it the day of the Yankees getting Soto. I hope he hits a homer so fucking far, bro. He grabs the bat and just goes like this to it. Boom! And just throws it to center field as far as he can. Then just rounds the bases. Just to be like, look, you guys have bullied us. You want to talk about bullying? Let's talk about bullying. All right, Aaron Boone?
You know, just felt like it was kind of bullying, frankly.
You want to talk about that? Here's what I'm going to talk about. I want the Yankees to be bullies this year. You want to sit here from me and say, you know what? Fuck being sick. My nose can wait. The cough can wait. Go fuck yourself, the cough and the colds and all this bullshit. I want the Yankees to be bullies this year. Yes, I'm saying it. Be bullies. Homer, bat flip. Homer, look at it. Round the bases. Come back up seven. Everybody on the field celebrating. Strike guys out. Point at them. Let Cole do that shit. Do it every game. Do it every game. The swag must come back. And the one thing that I think some people aren't looking at, but I seen this and I really like it.
Doogie?
The Yankees, they're allowing the guys to be the guys. And thank you, Yankee fan base, because I haven't seen many complaints.
You're
That's not the Yankee way. Oh, my God. He got Papa Simonetti loves it, by the way. Talk to Pop Simonetti, 70 plus years old.
He likes it.
He
loved
it. He loved it. He goes, I'm a big fan of Verdugo. I think he's going to be great. He also believes, he thinks Stanton's going to have a good year, actually. But, but all I'm saying here is they should play the way they feel in spring. You hear everybody going, look, everybody in that clubhouse wants to win. Everybody got a chip on their shoulder because they're so upset with last year. Then you know what? You play the same way on the field. I don't want to see the cute conversations at first base. I don't want to see during a game you're hugging other players. You're laughing with them. No. Before games, fine. After games, do what you want. But while that game is on, you guys should remember. This would be my tagline for Aaron Boone all year long. No joke. 82-80. All year.
Exactly.
Went down by 3 1/5. 82-80, boys. 82-80. Remember, that's it. Year long, bro. All year long. That's what I'll be saying. 82-80.
Put that shit in the clubhouse like Ted Lasso's Believe sign. Just 82-80. Every day, stare at that shit. The same way Judge did with his batting average that first season that he came up. I want to speak to something you just mentioned because you spoke about, you know, them letting the guys be the guys. And there's been a lot of talk on the timeline, even in our group chats, about just how immaculate the vibes are. Christian did a short about it, I want to say 2 weeks ago, and it was good. And the point can't be overstated. The vibes in this clubhouse right now are immaculate. And I think one of the biggest contributing factors to why the vibes are what they are is look at the people that they brought in. They brought in people who are coming from similar environments last year. Like, you know, good, not good enough stuff. We're all on the same type of time. Juan Soto had what they're calling a down year. Verdugo was literally benched by the Red Sox, who played horrific. Marcus Stroman had an amazing first half, couldn't put it together in the second half, and goes on and on. The Yankees finished 82-80. The Yankees themselves and the players that we brought in all came in on the same type of time. Last year wasn't good enough. This year needs to be better. And I think that's why the vibes are what they are, because it doesn't even have to be spoken about, bro. Everybody knows we need to get this shit done. And everybody everybody has their why clear. And I think that's why we see the vibes that we're seeing, bro.
Yeah. And it shouldn't change. It shouldn't change at all. It should be the same exact thing.
No matter how good they come out. No matter how good they come out.
Exactly. Don't change it. Keep it going. Keep it the way it is and friggin' win this season. That is the goal, man. Win now. They got everything that they need to win, and I want to see them. I want to see them go out and do it. So a couple of quick updates on our end before we move forward. So everybody already knows that me, Mario, and Kev will be together in spring training on Thursday. Francis is joining us on Friday.
Yes, sir.
So everybody's going to be there. But guys, there is going to be so many stuff coming out for you guys, whether it is shorts that we're going to have, daily vlogs we're going to have ready to release the previous days, and all that stuff. But live chats just about every night. The only night I'm going to make an assumption here to say that we're probably not going to do a live is probably Thursday night, because we're getting everything set up to make sure production is correct, production is working. We're actually also doing separate camera angles, which is something we've never done before. And can somebody kick this moron Gabe Alex out? This guy's like half fucking brain dead. He keeps repeating the same shit. Kick this moron out of here. Put him in the fucking bathroom where he belongs.
Put him in the bathroom.
But we're going to have all that stuff for you guys. Again, we're working on different type of camera angles and all that. And it's brand new. We've never done this before. So again, I think the stuff we're going to have for you guys is going to be absolutely amazing. I can't wait for it. I'm excited. First time I'm going to be at spring training. First time Francis is going to be there.
Yes, sir.
If you're around, come say hi. You're going to have, everybody's going to have NYU shit on. You're going to know who it is. Come around and say hi, man. Don't be
shy.
Y'all know what we look like.
Don't do that. And I want to say this. I'm going to say this because it's been happening to me all like all year, these last couple months.
Don't be
especially.
Shy. Come say hi.
Don't be not just that, but like here in New York, right? That you, those of you fans who are in the Bronx, I'm not going to say where I work because I don't want people like actually going there to try to whatever.
Oh, yeah. Don't.
But
don't say.
I work in an area where a lot of people frequent, right? Here in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people come by there and they'll sit and they'll be like, are you or whatever? Like, man, Francis looks like this. Y'all know what I look like, man. Listen, don't be asked. Don't be confused or whatever. When you see Pete, y'all know what Pete looks like.
I mean, I glow in the sun, so you're gonna notice. Just look for somebody like, bro, really just like shining and be like, oh, that's
bro.
That's
just pull,
Pete.
Bro. Just pull up or whatever. Like, I'll be honest. I've gotten a lot better in the beginning. I was a little bit shocked. Some people will come up to me. At this point, I've gotten a lot better. So yeah. I'm actually looking forward to it, especially in Florida, though. The vibes are going to be great. It's my first, like Pete just said, first time out there. I'm looking to have an amazing time. And I want to experience it with you guys.
It's going to be hot as ass, I'm sure. We'll be dying out there in the damn sun. It's going to be super hot. But expect a lot of really, really good content. Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Expect a lot of good content. And damn, we didn't even talk about April 20th. April 20th is sold out, fam. So excited. I am so excited for April 20th. It's going to be an amazing day. Thank you to everybody. And by the way, now it is officially sold out. There's nobody that has tickets out there. TC stole. He sold all of his. So TC Steals has no tickets left. We don't have any tickets left. And that's it. Caleb says, are you guys going to interview any players? Potentially, yeah. If that's what happens, yeah, we definitely will. Again, we're going to have giveaways. We're going to be giving away stuff to the fans that are out there. Mm-hmm. We're going to be having people on for shorts. We're doing a shit ton of vlogging. I bought a bunch of additional equipment for the camera, so we're going to really go to work out there, and it's going to be fun, man. I think the other thing too, that's going to be fun is, we got a team outing that we're doing that I think you guys maybe get to see a little different side of what NYYU is, right? That they don't get to see.
A little bit behind the scenes, what we're like when we're not sitting behind microphones, just
right, exactly,
talking about the Yankees. But
for the people who went to the dinner last year, you kind of get an idea of, you know,
exactly,
what that's going to be like.
Yeah,
but,
for sure, yeah.
You know, you guys are going to get a chance to see a different side of NYYU and really understand why this crew and this team is very, very different.
Best in the biz, baby.
Yeah, no question about it. It's just very, very different. And this is just a start to an amazing year this year. I just can't wait for it. I'm really, really excited. I don't know what else to say when it comes to that, man. I'm super amped for this year. I kind of feel like the last couple of days I got thrown off because I got sick and I'm like, I don't want to do shit. But we'll get right back on it. Like I said, Wednesday, calling the game. And then after that, we out. So, for instance, if you want to take us out.
This is going to be exciting, bro. It's going to be exciting. This is the next designated spitters that you guys will see. I'm going to be sitting across from this man.
Yeah.
Listen, we've never done a DS like that, right? I'm not wrong in saying that. We've done a live together in person.
We've done a live together,
we've
yes.
We've done that, but we've never done DS like that. So I'm super excited for that. I'm super excited just for all the content that Pete just spoke about. super excited for April 20th. You guys are doing your thing. This community, you guys have been doing your freaking thing. So give yourselves a pat on the back.
No doubt.
Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your grandma, tell everybody, subscribe, bro. Join the U. This is the only place to be, and you guys know it. That's why you're here. Yep. There's a super chat just came in. I don't know if you want to call that before.
Hey, Kyle Malay says, my daughter and I will come next year. Not going to schedule my New York trip until I know when it is next year. Okay.
Okay.
Makes sense.
All right.
Thank you, my guy, Kyle. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Steels. The next DS, we're going to stay true to the Sunday. Yep. We're going to stay true to the Sunday. It's going to be lit.
True to Sunday.
But yeah, man, I just wanted to shout out the community because you guys really been doing your thing. Like for real, for real. You guys been doing your thing. You guys sold out the event. You guys
quick, by the way.
Bro, literally.
43 tickets in about 2 weeks and 2 days.
Literally, bro. I mean, it's nuts because it leads me to think about what's to come after. And yeah, man, it's just exciting. And none of it would be possible without, you know, this amazing community and everything that you guys do and how you guys support. So shouts out to y'all. Remember that you guys are the bottom line. You guys are the reason we do all of the shit that we do. This is the reason probably that this man is sick right now because he goes so freaking hard for all of you guys, right? So with all that said, keep it locked and stay tuned because the next episode will in fact be the best episode.
Yep, no doubt about it. And you guys know, what do you know, damn it? You guys know.
Yeah, I know.
We will never come whack. You know. On a designated spitters track next Sunday, we're gonna be saying that
live
in the same room. So be ready for that, guys. But again, a lot of great content coming for you guys. I appreciate you all. Peace, folks. We are out. Until next time. I don't have an outro pulled up. There we go. See you later.
It's heavy. Famous love. Yeah, I gotta keep it trendy on my soul. I'm the most selfish person that I know. Here we go, down the rabbit hole. Got a couple carrots around my neck. Self-respect, when you out of line, you put yourself in check. They don't hear me, they don't hear me though. Cycles going round and round and round like a merry-go. Stand for truth, or fall for any old scenario. That's why I keep my circle smaller than a Cheerio. Cause this the company you keep. Stay woke, please don't get caught slick. End up. Cheap. The ghost is inside of me. Can't take it out of me. No matter where I've been.